Once in a while, do you ever have one of those moments where a coincidence seems a little more than a coincidence? A time when something falls into place just perfectly, where it seems that you've become a witness to your prayer, maybe even a long shot prayer, being answered. My mom calls those God things. Or a time where you were in the right place at just the right time to help someone out. Or maybe someone was in the right place at the right time to help you out. From my own life, an event stands out from a year or two ago when I was called to the hospital to provide some spiritual support to a family going through one of the worst things one could go through. I did what I could by listening, offering some words of support, reading scripture, offering prayers. And afterwards, back home, as I reflected on that time, I felt called to enter into prayer. So I said evening prayer. And the day's Old Testament reading, according to the long-established standard daily prayer lectionary, was from the 50th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the challenging events of the day collided in the most powerful way with the reading that begins, "Lord Yahweh has given me a disciple's tongue for me to know how to give a word of comfort to the weary." It was as if the prophet and whatever committee put that lectionary together and God had arranged for those things to come together at that moment. When these seemingly divine coincidences, these providential moments happen, it feels like everything was meant to be that way. And I pray that that family I was with felt some grace on that evening as well. But of course, life doesn't always seem that way. We have long, very long stretches of normalcy, business as usual, or worse, times of trial or tragedy or failure. The challenge for us is remembering or trusting or hoping or maybe just considering the possibility that God is still active and present in our lives even when things are average or bland or uneventful or terrible. Those aha moments from before are great when it seems like God has just broken into our mundane existences and shaken things up. But maybe those aha moments are there simply to remind us that God is always there in our lives, a presence to which we may not always be attuned. That, I'd suggest, is a big part of why we're called to read and reflect on Scripture. Not as magic stories that fell down from the sky, but as stories that have been passed down to us. Stories put to paper by people who felt God's presence in the ups and downs of life. And there are truly some of those aha moments, like an earthquake announcing the presence of an angel. But there are also a lot of mundane parts. Think of those long lists in the Bible or genealogies. There are also a lot of very terrible things that happen in the Bible. But undergirding all of those stories, the eventful ones, the less eventful ones, the good ones and the terrible ones, is the story of a people and their sense of having been called and challenged and transformed and supported by God. So tonight we heard from the first creation story in Genesis that speaks of the goodness of creation, how God brought order out of chaos, and God created us in his image. From Exodus, we heard of how God was with the Hebrew slave population in Egypt, how the chariots and war horses of a great kingdom couldn't get in the way of God's solidarity with the oppressed. And then we fast forward to Ezekiel's day, and a large portion of the Jewish people again living under the thumb of a mighty empire. And in that situation of what must have seemed helpless, like their whole culture might be snuffed out, we hear this reassurance, I will bring you into your own land. I will put my spirit within you. And likewise, Zephaniah is living in an age of corrupt leadership and a wayward populace leading to Judah's downfall. But in the midst of all of this, God says, I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Our experience as 21st century people is in some ways a lot different from the people in the Bible. We have a lot of a different default understanding of creation. And most of us don't have a great rallying story like the Exodus or prophets to inspire and guide us. But we are similar insofar as day by day we experience life's blessings and life's challenges. And regardless of historical period, regardless of culture or class, at the core of our anxieties and our tragedies and our experiences of pain and loss is the reality of the power of death in the world. But it's into that reality that God comes in the person of Jesus. And that sense of God's presence, seen in the Word of God in Scripture, is met in the Word made flesh, who lived and died as one of us, and died in a way far worse that many of us will experience. So tonight we celebrate God's presence in the world as seen in the person of Christ and especially in his resurrection. In this event, we see that God isn't afraid of going into the dark places of our lives. And God does go there. We're shown that the way of Christ, the way of the cross, the way of our baptism is how we are to live. Dead to sin, dead to loyalty to the power of death. And when we die and when we find ourselves surrounded by those powers of death, be they violence or discrimination, depression, a sense of meaninglessness, we're given the assurance that the angel conveyed to the women. Don't be afraid. He's not here in the tomb. He has been raised. The resurrection isn't just a big aha moment at the end of time, though I think it includes that. Paul reminds us that in our baptism, we're called to live lives marked by resurrection day by day. He writes, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." I pray that as church, may we remember our calling to pass on this message of grace. I pray that as a liturgical church, we may be transformed by our hearing of Scripture when we gather together, and by recognizing God's grace in the Scripture, that we might become more aware of God's grace in our own lives. And as a sacramental church, may we experience Christ's loving and victorious presence when we hear these words: "Send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know the presence of Jesus in the breaking of bread and share in the life of the family of your children." This Easter, may that be a reality for us all. Amen.